Will you turn with me again, please, to Lamentations chapter 3? And we have as the title of our message this morning, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Let us bow in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we do thank Thee for these hymns of praise that we have been singing. The reminder that it gives to us of the Lord's mercies, which are indeed new each morning. Great Thy faithfulness. And our Father, may we not simply sing these words, but may we believe them. May the scriptures of truth be written upon our heart. Might we meditate upon Thy blessed word. May Thy Holy Spirit, who has penned and preserved these words, come now and teach them to us. Know that we might rejoice this day as never before when we recall and remember that great indeed is the faithfulness of our God. Do bless us, we pray, for we ask again through the Lord Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Let me read again for you the verses 21 through 26. The prophet says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." The book of Lamentations is a series of dirges or songs of mourning, and they were written against the backdrop of the Babylonian invasion and destruction of the city of Jerusalem. And in the verses that we read together this morning, we could see something of the awful sufferings that were endured by the people of the city at the hand of their enemies. And yet, even in the midst of all of the pain and all of the turmoil, God had his man in Jerusalem, and he was there to record the events of the day and to bring honour unto the name of the Lord. Now, the writer of the book of Lamentations is believed to be the prophet Jeremiah. Jeremiah is often referred to as the weeping prophet, the weeping prophet, because when you study his life, you'll find it to be a portrait of unending sadness and deep depression. Let me give you a little background of this precious man of God. We find that he receives an unwanted call to minister in the name of the Lord. And he's called to a ministry of preaching nothing but judgment. He preached a message of judgment. He was forbidden to marry so that he might give himself more fully to the ministry that God had given to him of proclaiming that impending judgment of God. And as a result, he's very familiar with isolation and with loneliness. He's a man of deep sadness. We find it recorded in the scriptures that he wept openly about the sins of his people. He's of a tender conscience. He endured deep depression as a result that his message went unheeded for so long. He actually gets to the point that he tries to get out of the ministry altogether. And his pain is understandable. His ministry for God spanned 50 years, and there is no record of even one convert during all of those years. He suffered imprisonment by King Zedekiah for the sole reason that the king did not approve of Jeremiah's message. And even while the Babylonians are invading the city in fulfillment of Jeremiah's message, Jeremiah is to be found sitting in a dungeon. And after the city of Jerusalem falls, many of its people killed or taken captive, the prophet doesn't gloat or say to the crowd, "I told you so." Instead, he becomes a broken man and enters into the sufferings with them. So you can imagine what it must be like for Jeremiah. Rejected, hated, mocked, imprisoned, ignored, watching his beloved Jerusalem ransacked and desecrated and destroyed, he has experienced the horrors of war and the brutality of the enemy. He's known about the pangs of hunger. And yet Jeremiah is able to stand forth amidst all of the rubble of the city of Jerusalem, in the midst of all of the bodies of the dead that lie round about him, and he lifts up his voice in praise to God for his great and unfailing faithfulness to his people. And we wonder, how could that be possible? That in spite of all of the trials and the troubles that Jeremiah has seen, we find that the prophet has a wonderful grasp upon reality and recognizes just who God is. Because he knows whether things are going well or whether everything around him is falling apart, that God would still be God and that he would be eternally faithful to his people. That's why Jeremiah could say in verse 21, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." In spite of everything that I see and witness around me, this is what I know to be true. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Jeremiah is able to find hope in the most hopeless situation because he believes in the faithfulness of his great God. Perhaps like Jeremiah, life seems to be falling apart at the seams for you. And when the times of trouble come, we need that blessed reminder and assurance that, yes, God is faithful. And thankfully, the Bible gives us overwhelming evidence of the unchanging faithfulness of our great God. The word faithfulness itself, there in verse 23, is a word that means steadiness or steadfastness or firmness. It pictures God as one upon whom we can depend at all times and in every situation. We can be assured that as we face the storms of life, as the trials of the day come pressing upon us, that God will ever prove himself to be steadfast and faithful to us. To put it very simply, we can trust the Lord. We can count upon him. So I want to take a few moments this morning and point out three very precious words in the verses that we read together. Three words that proclaim, great is the faithfulness of our God. And the first word is there in verse 22. It's the word mercies. God is faithful in his mercies. You find the word mercies all through the scripture. You find it in its present form, the word mercy. You'll also find it in the phrase loving kindness. That's a phrase that's used over 30 times in the Old Testament. And it's a word that expresses and conveys the love and the grace and the faithfulness and the goodness and the devotion of God to His people. It pictures our God as the divine lover of man. When we get to the New Testament, the equivalent word would be love or grace. And Jeremiah seems to be remembering that God is a God of pure grace. All through their history, God has dealt with His people in grace. He brought the nation of Israel out of slavery in Egypt. It was grace that kept that people, a redeemed people, in spite of their failures, in spite of their wanderings. God was ever faithful. And as we think upon the mercies of God or the grace of God toward us, there's two things I would remind you of. Firstly, God's grace saves us and it secures us. It's only grace that could reach down to our lost, doomed condition and rescue us. It's not that we could get ourselves to God in order to be saved. God came to us. And He came in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. He came to die for our sins. The psalmist gives us a wonderful picture of being stuck in the miry clay and how the Lord reached down and plucked him out of it. The Lord Jesus came to die for our sins, and the Spirit of God drew us to Himself that we might be saved. And we can say with the prophet of old concerning the salvation of God that it's all of God. Salvation is of the Lord. It's God's grace that saves us. We didn't deserve it. We didn't merit it. We couldn't earn it, nor could we buy it. It was given to us. God's grace saves us, and God's grace secures us. You see, the Lord not only sought us when we were lost in sin, but God's grace keeps us now that we are converted. And that's good to know, because we are prone to failure. We're prone to spiritual wandering. And if our salvation depended upon our ability to be faithful to the Lord, not one of us would ever be saved for more than a moment, because we can't keep it. But thankfully, our salvation is not dependent upon us keeping it, but God keeping us. We are saved by His grace, and we are kept by His grace. How thankful we are for the unfailing, unchanging, faithful grace and mercy of God that saves us and keeps us. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. It's all of God's grace. God is faithful in His grace. He's also faithful in His gifts. Again, I draw your attention to verse 22 and to verse 23. It's because His compassions fail not. These are the gifts of God toward us. Indeed, Jeremiah says concerning these compassions, these gifts of God, they are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The word compassion means to be moved in our heart out of love for another. God is actively moving in the life of the believer. And as we pass through our storms and through our valleys, we don't do it alone. God sees our path and He gives us grace and gifts for the journey. And God's gifts are ever faithful. When you look at verse 23, we find that these gifts of God are new every morning, and great is His faithfulness. God doesn't promise us an easier road, but He does promise us that His grace would be sufficient for our need. When we think of the Apostle Paul and the thorn of the flesh in which he complains of in 2 Corinthians, God does not remove the problem but gives him grace to overcome it. The Lord will give us strength to face our battles. He will give us strength to bear up under the weight of the difficulties that we must endure. And then we are assured that regardless of what life sends our way, we are confident of the fact that the Lord will give us that necessary strength to face those trying times. We will never face a situation as a believer in God that will be too great for us, because the Lord will give us that needful grace new each morning. I think of the wonderful promise we find in Isaiah 43. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called thee by my name. Thou art mine. When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. There will be grace each day for the trials that we face. God has given us certain gifts, compassions that feel of. What are they? There's the gift of His presence. He has promised to never leave us nor to forsake us. He will be with us until the end of the age. O child of God, rejoice in that truth that God is ever present with His children. And even when He cannot be seen, we know that He is there. Even when we cannot trace His presence in our life, we still trust Him fully, because He has promised never to leave us nor forsake us. He gives us the gift of His presence and the gift of His performance. I think of the words of Ephesians 3 in verse 20. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. God is able. And if we take that verse at face value, as we must do, it becomes plain and clear that our God is greater by far than any problem we could ever encounter. He gives us the gift of His performance. He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. There's the gift of His presence, and the gift of His performance, and the gifts of His provisions. I think of the words of Matthew 6:33, that when we seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, that all these other things shall be added unto us. What are the things? The things that we need, the requirements of life. The Lord will meet our needs, not our greeds, but He will meet our needs. He has promised to take care of His children. Now it may be that God's idea of taking care of us is different than what our idea might be. But that's when we learn to rest in his faithfulness. We come to the place that we're willing to entrust ourselves and our care to the Lord. To be able to come like Job of old and say, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. When you think of Job, I'm sure he would have chosen a different path through life. He would have chosen an alternative way rather than losing his children, losing his health, losing his wealth. And yet there he sits with nothing. And he's still willing to trust the Lord, even though it doesn't make sense to him. It doesn't seem right to him. And yet his cry is, though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Do we believe that God is absolutely faithful? Do we believe that God has our best interests at heart? Are we confident of the fact that God will provide for our needs? He has promised to. He's promised us his presence and the performance of his power and the provision of the daily needs of life. The promise of his person. We have in Hebrews 13 verse 8 one of the most wonderful verses of scripture, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday and today and forever. That verse reveals a wonderful truth about the nature of God, that he is reliable at all times. That is simply the fact that he does not change. That God is the same today as he has been forever, and the same as he will be forever. He was faithful in the beginning, he will be faithful at the end, and he will be faithful every day in between. God's gifts are faithful. And God's gifts are fresh. They are new every morning. The Lord does not give us stale bread. His mercies and graces and gifts are fresh each day. We don't have to worry about whether the supply of grace we are given today will last us tomorrow and the rest of the week, because God will give us a fresh supply each day. The Savior said in Matthew 6:34, "Take therefore no thought for the morrow." Don't be concerning yourself about tomorrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. We give our tomorrows into the hands of the Lord. And just as every day brings its own set of problems and burdens, so every day brings with it the new, unfailing, all-sufficient supply of God's marvelous, matchless, wonderful, amazing grace. And we bear witness to that this morning, that we have arisen today in our right minds and in reasonable health, with air to breathe and food to eat and clothes to wear and people to love around us. God is faithful. He is faithful in his grace. He is faithful in his gifts. And he is faithful in his goodness. We find the word good ascribed to the Lord in the verses 24 through to 26. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The word good has the idea of being pleasant and agreeable or excellent. And it's referring to the character of God. And it reminds us again that God is ever engaged in that which is best in the lives of his children. Look how Jeremiah describes him there in verse 24. The Lord is my portion. The word portion is a share of the spoils. The spoils of war, if you like. Jeremiah is saying, in the battles of life, God is my reward. God is my share, my portion of the victory. And when we think of the Lord in that light, We know then that he will be the very thing and one that we need. He will satisfy us. God is my portion. We've said already, the Lord may not give us the things that we desire, but he will always give us the things that are best. The things that will satisfy our soul. We know, Paul said, that all things work together for good to them that love God. The Lord will satisfy us with good things. He is my portion. He is my satisfier. And he is my sustainer. Jeremiah says, therefore will I hope in him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. God will never fail those that put their trust in him. Not one single word of any of his precious promises will ever fail to be honored by him. If we come to him for salvation, he will not send us away lost. He saves all that come unto him. When we put our trust in him, we need never fear the fires of hell, for the Lord will deliver us from it. We want a place in heaven reserved for us. We come through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him. He is our satisfier, our sustainer, our Savior. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. He is our Savior. Jeremiah is saying that those that wait upon the Lord will witness the Lord bringing them out of all of their troubles and out of all of their trials. He will not fail his children, but in his own time he will deliver them out of all of their difficulties. The Lord will be their Savior. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. So it's good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord is able to deliver us. Child of God, can I remind you this morning that the Lord knows exactly where you are today. And I'm not speaking about your physical location, I'm speaking about your spiritual location. He knows where you are, and he knows what you're going through, and he has promised never to forsake. He has promised to faithfully keep you, to give you new grace each day, to endure the trials, that in God's timing, that he will bring you out of those difficulties, that you might rejoice in God's power, in his presence, in his performance, in his person. It might look and appear to you that all around you that there's only trouble and strife, that the future holds only more difficulties. Trust in God. He will not only save you by his grace, but he will keep you by it. And you will come out the other side rejoicing and singing with Jeremiah, it is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning, and great is his faithfulness. Trust in God. He is ever faithful. He has never lost even one that he has saved. He keeps them all. We can stand amid all of the wreckage of life and all of the pain and suffering and loss and declare the praises of God, because we know that his mercies never fail. We are the sheep of his pasture. He is the good shepherd. Not even one out of the 100 will be lost. He will seek them, and he will find them, and he will carry them, that they might be found in his fold at the end of the day. Those that are the lambs of the flock, he carries. He carries. He will bring us safely through. And so I encourage you again this morning that no matter what kind of battles you are fighting or difficulties that are pressing upon you, bring them to the Lord. Cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. And trust in his unchanging and his unfailing faithfulness. And realize that our salvation is not dependent upon us holding on to God, but God holding on to us. And when we come to that place, when we realize that it's all of God, we can say like Jeremiah, great is thy faithfulness. May the Lord help us to rejoice in his faithfulness today, not just today though, but every day, and prove again that his mercies are new each morning.